Amen. Good morning, bros.
Good morning.
Amen. Great to be here this morning. Before we start, let's go to God in a word of prayer.
Let's pray.
Our Father, we're so thankful to be here in Sydney, Father, to be able to be inspired by you. You have moved in our hearts in the last past 24 hours. And Father, I pray that you continue to soften our hearts. Thank you so much for each brother here and their dedication and commitment to Jesus. Father, I pray that you would open our eyes and help us to dream the dreams you have for us. Father, thank you so much for the word. Thank you so much for Jesus. Father, I pray this time will bring you much glory. Amen. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Wow, what a great devotional. Thank you so much again, Sydney Church, for hosting this incredible conference. Amazing. It's great to be with the brothers this morning.
Yes.
And we could talk about brother things.
Yes.
And God has called us to be men for a reason, or many reasons. And I believe one of those reasons why God allowed us to be who we are today is to have a great vision about God, but to be men who dream. And today I have the honor to be able to share with you from God's word about the importance of dreaming. And I pray that through God's word, through God's grace, through the power of the blood of the cross, that we will be renewed and have bigger dreams. And I say this to you because I'm learning this in my life on how to renew my dreams, on how to keep my dreams fresh and godly. Because I can dream. I can dream, and I know many of us can dream, but our dreams are different when we have God in there. And God's dreams are so much different than the dreams that we have. Are you with me, bros? And I praise God that God looks down as a sinner like me and gives me a chance. And I hope today as brothers, and I know all of us here, we feel very humbled by the fact that God can use us. And I pray that today that we will be inspired. You know, it's as I shared last night, it's rather humbling to be able to serve in Cambodia, Vietnam, Laos, Myanmar, and being based in Cambodia, and to learn from the people, from the disciples, of what they've been through. Honestly, many of the times we are encouraging them on our different one-on-one appointments, but that's 40% of the time. The other 60% is listening to the stories that they've been through.
Yeah.
It's humbling. I'm amazed how they had to evade the landmines with their family.
Yeah.
How when they were evading and escaping to another country, they would be behind one family, and as they're evading a landmine, a cow would step on the landmine and blow up that whole family right in front of their very eyes. How they would go and walk and escape through the streams from Cambodia to Vietnam at night. You know, we have stories of mothers who literally put their child up in human trafficking as a prostitute. And the child ends up being a prostitute, not knowing, she's only 14 years old, her mom puts her in a room, an older man comes in and says, "Mom, what am I doing here?" She gets raped by this older man, and she's scarred for life. And the mother feels bad because they need the money. And she said, "I'll never do it again." But you know what happens? It happens again. When you hear about these stories, it's humbling. When you hear a story about how they literally saw their father be taken away, killed in front of their very eyes. When you have disciples, they don't know the days they were born. They don't know their birthdays. Because everything was erased during Pol Pot. But here's the incredible thing. When they find Jesus, there's hope.
Amen.
And they begin to dream.
Amen.
That story about the mother who put her daughter up for prostitution. You know, she eventually became a Christian and apologized to her daughter. You know, her daughter eventually became a Christian too.
Amen.
They both died faithfully. But let me tell you, that's only the power of God. And I say this to you, because going into this area and learning, I'm humble. But one thing I realize is how important it is. Like the Bible says, where there is no vision, people will perish. And that's why I say it's so important this class, as we go into the Word of God, to understand how important it is for you and I, bro, to dream for God. Amen. So I say this here because it's exciting, it's humbling, I'm learning a lot, but one thing that we're learning in the church in Cambodia is how to dream. And I say this to you because it's amazing to see what God has done. You know, years ago, a brother prayed, he said, what can we do? How can we help the people of Cambodia? And the prayer was, God, can we just find a way how we can serve the people and start a hospital? It was just a prayer. And you know what? Now, there's a hospital by the grace of God that has served over 1 million people.
Wow.
And I'm grateful for brothers like Dr. Graham, for June Palmer, for Boyette, who served in Cambodia. But you know that dream, when you're there, it's amazing because you also see a staff of 400 people.
Come on.
Wow. Now I want you to know, this is amazing because in Pol Pot days, if you had glasses, if you're a teacher, if you were a doctor, you were executed. But now to see medical staff in Cambodia being trained, it's by the grace of God. But when you look at it, it started with a dream. You know, another brother, my best friend, Frank Kim, his family went to Cambodia one time, his father. And he said, what can we do to help the people of Cambodia? I said, maybe we could start a school. And let's start a school. It started with a prayer. And you know, to this very day, we now have a school that has over 300 students taught by disciples, impacting nations. How did it start? It started with a dream, a prayer. And that's why today, brothers, we need to be men who dream, not dream, but dream big.
Come on.
And that's what I want to talk to you about today. And we've got to ask these questions. If we're to be men who dream big, we've got to ask this question. Why have I settled for little dreams when we serve a big God? If God is so big, why are my dreams so little? Another question I had to ask myself that I'd like you to ask yourself is, why are we content to ask God just for the possible? When God is the God of impossible. Another question we've got to ask is this, why not ask God for the impossible? Brothers, I believe God allowed this conference for a reason, for his name to be glorified.
Yeah.
And God is willing and waiting and wanting to do incredible things in our lives, in our family, in our churches, in our cities, in our nations. But here's the key, for you and I to dream big. And I know some of us are young in the faith, some are more mature in the faith. But let me see, when we looked at Abraham, 175 years when he died, he was called when he was 75. So 100 years of him growing in his faith, if he can do it, you and I can do it.
Come on.
So we're going to look in 2 Kings chapter 2.
Come on.
And we're going to look at Elijah and Elijah. And we're going to look specifically at Elijah. He had a very bold request because he had a big dream. And 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elijah were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elijah, stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elijah said, as surely as the Lord lives and you live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets of Bethel came out to Elijah and asked, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, Elijah replied. But do not speak of it. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, Elijah. The Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went to Jericho. The company of prophets at Jericho went up to Elijah and asked, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, he replied, but do not speak of it. Then Elijah said to him, stay here. The Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and you live, I will not leave you. So the two of them walked on. There was something burning in Elijah that Elijah couldn't quite figure out. Elijah was motivated. Elijah tried to say, stay here. But there was something that was motivating Elijah. And you know what? He had a big dream. And let's read on. 50 men of the prophets, company of prophets, went and stood at a distance facing the place where Elijah and Elijah had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took out his cloth, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over it. When they crossed, Elijah said to Elijah, tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? The big question. Elijah could ask for many things, but look what he asked for. Something pretty bold. Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. Yeah. Elijah replied. Elijah said, man, you are crazy. Kind of paused. He said, wow, is this the reason why you wanted to hang out with me? And look in verse 10. You have asked a difficult thing. Elijah was very honest. He says, that's very difficult. That's a pretty bold request. That's a hard task. But look what he said. Yet, if you see me when I am taken from you, if you see me, if you fix your eyes on me when I'm taken from you, you know what? You got it. It's yours. Otherwise, not. That's the key. Boy, so can you imagine this, man? Elijah just kept following him everywhere he went. I'm not even going to blink. I'm not even going to the bathroom. If I'm in the bathroom, can you come with me, Elijah? Because I don't want to miss it. You got to appreciate Elijah's determination.
Yeah.
And as they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated two of them, and Elijah went up into heaven in a whirlwind. Elijah saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elijah saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. He got a little emotional there, so it shows that Elijah was a little Filipino. Anyways, let's move on. I had to throw that in for the Filos. In verse 13, he picked up the cloth after working through his emotions. He picked up the cloth. How can he leave me? I thought he was just kidding. I didn't know it was going to be this soon. And I followed from Elijah and went back and stood at the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloth that had fallen from him and struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah, he asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. And then the company of prophets from Jericho, who was watching him, said, the spirit of Elijah is resting on Elijah. And they went to meet him and bowed down before him. And they said, you know, we were just kidding about Elijah leaving you. We didn't want to really rub it in, but wow, they were amazed. All it started with a desire, a motivation, a dream that Elijah. But it wasn't just a little dream. It was a bold dream. Give me a double portion, please, of your spirit. Wow, he dreamed big. If he can dream big, you and I can dream big also. This scripture is here in the Bible for us in the year 2011. This scripture, this example, is for you and I in all that we've been through as a disciple. And I believe one of the things that you and I can learn from this is to dream big.
Come on.
What was the key? What was the key in Elijah? He desired the impossible. If you want to dream big, you got to desire the impossible. Let's go through the scriptures and look at some key things here. What did Elijah desire? He desired more. He desired more. What do I mean by that? In verse 2, 4, 5, Elijah told him many times, here, stay here in Bethel. Oh, hey, we're at Jericho. I mean, when you go to Jericho, they said, as you approach Jericho, you could smell the oil, the fragrance. When you approach Jericho, it was a city that it was like a giant spa. This is the place to be. A comfortable place. But you know, For Elisha says, no, I don't want to be comfortable. No, Jericho's not what, that's not my goal in life. He desired something more. He desired something more than a comfortable life. In verse 7, he was with the company of prophets. I mean, that was university of prophets right there. And Elisha was one of them. And he said, maybe you could just stay here with the other bros. But you know, he wanted more than a secure career. He wasn't interested in being the company of prophets. He wanted to be the leader of leaders. He wanted something more. He didn't just want to be an ordinary prophet. He wanted more than a comfortable life. He wanted more than a secure career. In verse 9, did he see miracles? Oh yeah, hanging with Elijah, you're going to see a lot of great miracles. Right? And we've seen a lot of miracles in our lives.
Yep. Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
And those miracles are there for a reason. Mm-hmm. But what we see right here, he wanted more than just witnessing other miracles. He wanted something incredible. Sometimes we can see a miracle by God and we can focus on the person God is using. But Elijah was focused on the power of God, and that's what inspired him. He wanted more than just a secure career. He wanted more than just a comfortable life. He wanted more than just witnessing other miracles. He wanted the power of God, too. He wanted to walk like Elijah. He wanted to have that relationship with God like Elijah. He wanted something more. And you know what? He wanted more than just a friend. I mean, these guys were tight. Elijah were tight. He wanted more than just a friend. But when you look at it, it wasn't about Elijah. It was about making an impact for God. And that's why he was able to ask that impossible question. That's why he was able to ask that impossible request, I should say. It was about making an impact for God. And that's why he was asked, a double portion, please. You know why? Because when you take self out of the way, there's no prayer too great if it's truly asked for the purpose of glorifying God. So with a pure heart, he was able to ask the impossible. I want to be like you. Matter of fact, I want a double portion. I want to be more. Because it was the purity of his heart that he wanted to glorify God. If we have that clear conscience and a pure desire to glorify God, you know, we can ask for anything. But if our request is something about us, if it's something to glorify ourselves, if it's something to make me better or make my family better, you know what? It's difficult to ask for the impossible.
Yeah.
Are you with me, bros?
Come on, yes.
And you know, I'm learning about this in my life to keep my heart pure. Mm-hmm. Everything I do is not about me. I don't even deserve to be alive. I'm supposed to be dead. I had a gun to my head. I'm not even supposed to be here in Sydney. It's by God's grace I'm here. I don't even deserve to be here speaking to you. I don't even deserve to have you in my life. I don't. I'm indebted to God. And because I'm indebted to God, I got to remind myself all the time that my life is to glorify God because I owe it to him. And see, that's what Elijah came from. He had that kind of heart. And when you have that kind of heart, you can ask for anything, bro. Are you with me, brothers?
Yes.
You know, when we first got to Cambodia, it was pretty wild. The church was going through a lot of challenges. They said there's about 224 members on paper, but when we went to midweek service, there's only 22 people at church. My family's five. The other family we're close to is four. That's half of it already. I said, wow, man. And it was just really a discouraging situation. Bless their hearts. They were doing their very best. That was one of the reasons why it would be an honor to do what we can to help build this church up. Because not only the church, but the hospital, the school, it provides a spiritual foundation to get the church strong. So guess what? We get there, and there's a law that's passed out that Christian churches can't share their faith with people outside their church. I said, what? At this point, that's not a bad idea. You can only share your faith with people in church. I said, okay, that's not bad. I'm going to do that. We got to do that anyways. But we couldn't share our faith in public. No Christian church. Because what happened was there was a church. They were sharing their faith. And they were asking people to pray Jesus in their heart. And if they praised Jesus in their heart, they got some food. You know, I said, man, that's not good. I was tempted to try the technique, but it's still not good. But we feed them when they come in. So the brothers were discouraged. The church was discouraged. I mean, you talk about devotional 22 people. They were pretty discouraged. I said, guys, let's just pray. Pray, pray, pray. I said, we already prayed. But you don't pray. God, you thank you for it. No, you got to pray, bro. You're talking about God can do anything. And you know, coming from Manila, we had Bible talks in the Senate. We studied the Bible with people in the cabinet. We reach out to presidents, vice presidents, they've come to church. So we say, if God can do that there, that's the same God here. So you know what? God can do it, guys. Amen. He can move. It's the same God. Okay, bro. No, pray, bro. So, okay, God, move, please. Amen. We just got to keep praying. And you know, we received a letter from the Ministry of Religion. Well, it's actually called the Ministry of Cult and Religion. Because they have their own religion and they consider us a cult. So anything outside their religion is a cult. But anyways, so we want to meet all the official religious organizations. That's about 2,000 of them. And here's the thing. We want to meet with you guys, and we're only going to give a few of you. You're going to have an audience with all the officials in Cambodia, the high officials, and we want to hear about your church. We can't guarantee all of you because 2,000, only a few will be chosen. I said, guys, we got to pray that we'll be chosen. I said, how do they choose them? I think they choose them by how much money they have. Oh, boy. So the Mormon church, they have their portfolio of real estate. They got it. You know, the Baptist church, they've been there for years, so they got it. You know, what was the other church? The Jehovah's Witness. All they do is show their international portfolio. They got it. I said, guys, we're in trouble now. They look in our account, man. I don't know, guys. I don't even know if we'll be able to sit in the auditorium. So, guys, we just got to pray. That's what they tell me now. We got to pray. Said, that's right, bro. We got to pray. But, you know, sometimes God does not answer prayers at his time. So we prayed. Next thing we know, we got a call. We said, hey, your church has been chosen to speak in front of 600 officials. And you've got 4 minutes. Said, boy, you better not let me do it. I said, but we need you to send a PowerPoint presentation. We need you to get it ready. We looked at your organization, we studied it, and we realized what you guys are doing internationally with Hope. And we saw that, wow, okay, you may not have the finances, but we see that you're connected somehow. I said, bro, you know how to make a presentation? No, you don't know. We got the teens and the camps to make our presentation. And they put the presentation together, and our brother Soban, awesome brother, got up there in front of all these officials, and they said, oh, tell us a little bit. He shared about his church, about his life. He shared about what they're doing in the hospital through the school. He just shared under 4 minutes. And you know what they said? They said, our presentation was the best. Amen. And you know, afterwards, on TV. I mean, Soban became a celebrity in 1 week. And then they said, what do you need for your church? And then Soban, I said, man, a car? I said, no. A projector? No, bro, a projector. No, 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 no. We could ask the Sydney Church to give us a projector. Apple computer. No. He said, bro, ask for lamb. Yeah. Okay. And they said, what do you need for your church? Lamb. Okay, we'll look into it. I said, wow, look into it. You know what? They never gave us a lamb. But you know what? We received land last year from another source.
Yeah.
You know what happened after this? The ruling was removed. You could share your faith. You know what happened after this? They love the church. Whenever there's anything that needs to be done, whether a conference or input, they call our church now. And they want us to be part of the meetings. And we look at them, we're amazed. We say, how did this happen? It was God. Now, we could have said, oh, this is impossible. They want to see our finance. Oh, no ways. Oh, man. They said, that. Oh, no, we can't. That's impossible. There was such a temptation to go that road. And we could have been on TV saying, wow, look at the Mormon church. Our presentation is going pretty well. Wow, look at the Baptist. Wow, they're doing okay. And we could have been watching it from TV saying, wow, what happened? And have no God in there. But when we prayed and we asked for something impossible, you know, it was God. You know, we've got to desire something more in our lives. What are you asking God for in your life today? You know, so many times, it's difficult. Because as a Christian, especially if you've been around for a while, that we've seen prayers answered. Amen. And we see some prayers not answered. We see some prayers answered and they went the wrong way afterwards. And sometimes, if you're like me, we stop asking for the impossible, and we start asking for the possible.
That's right.
Yeah. Son, God, can you raise the sun up tomorrow morning? Thank you, God. You know? And we don't ask for the impossible anymore. You ever wonder why, as a young Christian, we were able to ask for radical things? Because our heart was so pure and soft. But what happens after a while, we stop asking because we understand that God sometimes says no. But I want to share with you a scripture in 2 Chronicles. When David asked, his dream was to build the temple. And then God said no. I think as mature brothers, we've got to ask ourselves, how do we respond when God says no? When he says no to a dream, do we give up easily? When he says no to a dream or to a prayer, do we get discouraged and we digress in our faith? But when we look at David right here, he rose up and he said to the people in verse 2. You guys with me, guys?
Come on, Roger.
So King David rose to his feet and said, listen to me, my brothers and my people. I had in my heart to build a house as a place of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, for the footstool of our God. And I made plans to build it. We have our plans, but God has his own plans. And in verse 3 of chapter 28, God said to me, you are not to build a house for my name because you are a warrior and have shed blood. Okay? So what we see right here, David had a plan to build a temple, but God said no. And then later on, as we read verse 4 to 7, it's obvious that his family will still be the one that's going to build a temple, but he's going to be... Solomon's the one that's going to be chosen. But we look at David's heart right here, and then we look at another scripture. We look in 1 Kings chapter 8. Though David had the plan to build a temple, and God said no. How many of you have experienced God saying no? Okay, can I see the no club? Okay, there we go, no clubs. Yeah, and there's sometimes when God said no. When I wanted to stay in the Philippines, at some point I realized God said no. And I took that no personally. God, what did I do? But then I messed up. No. God, what can I do? I'll stay alone. No. And there was such a great temptation to feel bad and be like a spoiled brat and say, no, I don't want you anymore. No. There's my plan, there's God's plan. But this is what I like about David in 1 Kings chapter 8, in verse 18. It says, my father David had it in his heart to build a temple for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said, no, said to my father David, because it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well to have this in your heart. Even though God said no, the Bible says that you did well because you had it in your heart. And I realize this, that we need to figure out how do we dream big when God says no. So we can still have it in my heart. My heart is the Philippines. If you open up my heart, there's a big tattoo that says Philippines. Yeah. But you know what? God's plan is way different than my plan. Yeah. And I say this to you because maybe some of us here today, we've experienced God saying no. Yeah. And we no longer ask for the impossible. We no longer dream. And this is a scary place to be, because when we say no, our attitude can be, no more I trust in you, God, but now I trust in myself. Yeah. Are you with me, guys? Yeah. Oh, I'm not like that, bro. Come on, bro. I'm faithful. Well, what you been asking God lately? Are the dreams that we've asked and the prayers that we asked for God bigger when we were baptized or now? They should be more now because we've seen more. Are you with me, guys?
Yeah.
I love the young Christians. My daughter is so fired up. She convicts me. She inspires me. But I can tell sometimes in my heart, oh, that's cute. Wait till you hit the 5-year mark. Oh, you want to be a missionary? Oh, wow, that's great. Wait a minute. I don't know many teens that are saying in Cambodia that they want to be a missionary. They say, whoa, what am I? Wow, I am so stupid sometimes. And the reason why I'm tainted by that purity of the heart is because I look at my heart many times when God said no. And I think God is speaking through me through that purity of the heart. And I've got to be careful that my no's do not influence other people's big dreams.
Yeah.
Are you with me, guys?
Yes.
See, so you and I as bros, as the vintage brothers.
Yeah.
Not the dinosaur, but the vintage brothers. Classic. We've seen the Mount Moriahs. We've seen the Garden of Gethsemane. We wrestle with God and walk with a hip broken. We've seen more. Therefore, you and I should ask for more.
Good point.
Are you with me, guys?
Yes.
But I love this scripture because it said that even though God said no to David, the Bible said he did well because it was in his heart. What's in your heart today, bro?
Yeah.
It's okay, bro, to have new dreams. It's okay to have new dreams, bro. You know, this brother,
Sotia,
great brother. When I first went to Cambodia in 1995, oh, it was pretty intense back then. You do not go out after dark, after 7 p.m., right, Graham? I mean, ask Graham. If you go out after 7 p.m., you go from point A to point B as fast as you can. And back then, it was still pretty raw. But when you went to the church, they were so awesome. I mean, you know how they hugged back then? This brother and the other brothers, when they see me, they say, hey, bro, they grab my legs and they pick me up. I said, bro, good to see ya. But after Graham and June Papa got there, they stopped doing that. These guys are getting bigger and taller. So he's one of the pillars of the church, been around. But he went through some difficult times in his marriage, difficult times in his walk with God, to the point that he wanted to give up. And I share this with you with his permission. Their marriage got so bad that he couldn't find his wife one day. His wife was at the top of the house with a rope around her head or her neck, ready to jump off and take her own life. And I'll never forget when we got there. And I'll never forget the words and the tears and the scream. We said, please help me. No one can help us. I still remember what she was wearing. I still remember the look. And I didn't worry. At that time, I didn't worry so much. What's it going to take for us to stay here? This couple needs help. And you know what? Praise God. They started getting strong with God. Praise God. They started repenting. You know what? They lead a marriage Bible talk. Amen. You know what? He's so fired up. He's one of the comeback kids of Cambodia.
Come on.
And this is him baptizing his friend. This is how we baptize in Cambodia. Big baptistries. You know, because we do for 3-for-1. We baptize 3-in-1. Impacting other families. You know what? He realized it's okay to have new dreams.
Yeah.
It's okay to have new dreams. See, when you have dreams and you see something amazing happen, people will say, it's God. Yeah. Honestly, that's one of the reasons why I love to be in Cambodia. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was a weak situation. Yes, it was discouraging. But you know, when the church turns around, people will be able to say, it's not Cesar, it was God.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's why the prophets, when they saw Elisha, they recognized where the power came from. Wow! He's like Elijah. It's from God. Hey, Elijah, come on over, buddy. We were just joking. See, when you ask for incredible things, and God does incredible things in our lives, people will be so amazed and say, it's God. Sydney Church, continue to do what you're doing. And one day, people will look back and say, wow, that was God.
Yeah.
Australia, Fiji, New Zealand.
Come on.
Keep doing what you're doing. Papua New Guinea, keep doing what you're doing. But bro, we're so small. Bro, we're only this. Bro, no. Ask for more. And the day will come, I promise you. I promise you. You keep your heart pure. You keep it focused on God. You do not get distracted. You do not let the naysayers dilute your dream and your request from God. Why? Not to glorify ourselves. But one day, people look at it, that was God.
Amen.
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 That's why Elijah was amazing. Because he was able to ask this, and at the point, it says, that was God. You know, in Vietnam, it's an underground church. And how are we doing in time? Okay. Our brother who leads the Vietnam church used to be a very popular actor in... He says it himself. I don't think so, but whatever encouraged him, he thinks he's the Tom Cruise of Vietnam. Bro, whatever inspires you, bro.
Wrong choice.
Ask whatever you wish, bro. Funny thing, many people don't know Tom Cruise in Vietnam, so. Welcome. And his dream was to go to Hanoi. The church is in Ho Chi Minh, but his dream was to go to Hanoi and plant a church there. Why? Because he was born in Hanoi. And he shares, 2 months after he was born, the hospital that he was born in was bombed. But his dream was always to go back to Hanoi. And he eventually made that dream come true. And he went to go plant the church in Hanoi last year. Oh no, 2 years ago. But you know, before he left, a man came to his house in front of his family, took a stick and beat him. He heard about him going to Hanoi and wanting to start a church there. And he heard that his son, who's also in the church, he didn't like the way he was influencing him. And he was getting beaten with a stick. His boys was watching him. His wife was watching him. And his mother, who's not a Christian, was watching him. And after he got beaten, he didn't do anything. The kids came up and said, Daddy, what happened? And he said, Son, if you do what's right for God, people will not like it. If you get beaten for God, many people will not like it. And the boy said, yeah, Dad! And you know, next week, they went to Hanoi. They planted the church there. Their plan was the first year just to assimilate and get to know. Because it's intense in Vietnam. You don't know who, if they're really studying the Bible to become a disciple or to be a spy for the government. I'm not kidding. It's that intense. So they got to Hanoi, and they prayed, God, help us to make impact, God. I know we want to assimilate, but help us to make impact. When he got to the first week, he got a phone call. Is this Quokong? He said, yes. Are you here now in Hanoi?
Yes.
I want to come see you in 5 minutes.
Okay, who are you?
I'm a policeman.
I said, 5 minutes?
What are you doing in Hanoi?
We teach English, we help the poor, we help people.
I said, but I heard you're starting a church. I'm going to be there right now.
I said, oh no, I just got beaten, and now the police officer's coming in. My kids are right here.
Well, what can I do?
So he got there.
You Kwokong?
Yes.
Why are you here?
We teach English. We help the poor everywhere.
But I heard you're starting a church. Is that true?
I said, yes.
I knew it.
I said, okay, why?
Because I want to study the Bible. My marriage is falling apart. I don't know what to do. I heard that this Jesus thing can help me. I'm a police officer, but I'm at the point where I need help. Will you study the Bible with me? Well, yeah, we study the Bible with people too. We can do it in English, we can do it in Vietnamese. Well, let me check my schedule. Yeah, I think I could pencil you in. Oh, great. Yeah, but you're going to have to commit to studying the Bible because I need to know if this is really... Yes, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. So, you know, he studied the Bible, and this is your brother, the police officer. He was the first convert. Now, get this. Part of his repentance, he gave up being a police officer. But you know what? He's reaching out to other police officers. They had many baptisms in Hanoi. God is doing incredible things. They could have easily said, oh, well, we just want to assimilate and start an English class and sort of hope that we could bear fruit or hope to see God do incredible things. But after the beating, he had it in his heart to go to Hanoi. Even the fear of being imprisoned in Vietnam, in his heart, and asking God, help us to glorify you. And you know what? Said, no problem. I've been working on that. I'm just waiting for you to ask it. By the matter of fact, I'm going to send a police officer to your house right now. I'm going to freak you out a little bit. You know, in Myanmar is intense. Myanmar is so intense. I went there for the first time because many years it took me a while to get a visa to go there. Most of these disciples in Myanmar will not have a chance to go outside of Myanmar. It's an intense nation. It's underground. Every Sunday they have to move around. They can't meet in the same place. So they'll be at the beach, they'll be at the park. They have to move around. But here's a brother, his name is Reuben, and his desire was so tempted to go abroad and make money and send money back to his family in Myanmar. But he said, no, I have a dream to save my family. And he held on to that dream. He gave up the options to make more money and help his family back in Myanmar. I got to help him through the word of God. This is Reuben right here. He has baptized 18 of his family members. Wow. This year was number 19. Wow. And they're working on number 20 and 21. What was that? He could have easily said, oh, well, I care for my family. You know, I got good cousins. No! I want them to have what I have. God, please. No problem. I'm glad you desired the impossible. I'm glad you asked for more because that's been my heart. It's just taken you a while. No problem. I'm working on their hearts. You know what? You got to ask for more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Come on, I shared with you last night our desire to build back the churches in our region. We didn't know what to do. We prayed. We're grateful for a brother named Roland and Gordon Ferguson. He said, I got an idea. I don't know what to do also, but let's start teaching the word of God. Mm-hmm. Let's start with there. Let's come up with a plan. Let's start with there. We have no funds, but hey, we're used to that. But let's start there. All of a sudden, 200 people enrolled. Came to Cambodia. I was so blown away to see at least 40 disciples come out. And I want you to know, in Cambodia, when you take a day off, you have to pay to take a day off. So whatever hours you take off, you have to pay for those hours. And they took time off for 3 days to learn and study the Word of God. And you know what? They're so excited that now they're learning more about the Word of God. It's an answered prayer. You know, I say this, you've got to ask for the impossible.
Amen.
The impossible. Why? Because it's not about us. God sees and He hears the pain of the people that we live with in our nations. In Cambodia, there's so much pain. There's so many people in need of God, in need of hope. But you know what? There's a church there that's asking for the impossible now.
Yeah.
I remember I told you that our midweek service was about 22 people.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, this is our Sunday service.
Wow.
Average 450 to 500 people now.
Wow.
And let me tell you, it is God.
Yeah.
We look back and say, it's not us. No way. Maybe we ask. But you know what? It was God. God wants to do great things. This brother, his name is Sochia. Sochia in the Khmer Rouge time, he was found underneath a tree in the rain crying because he lost his family. He was sort of hopping around a different family. The family that he was with, they said, you could stay with us, but if you're going to ask for more food, you can't, or I'm going to have to kill you. I'm going to have to kill you because the food I have is enough for my family, and if you're going to leech off us, I'm going to have to kill you. So he left them underneath a tree, crying, in the rain. A lady saw him, said, why don't you just come home with me? Took care of him, raised him up. He went to college. He got reached out to in college. He came to church, he became a disciple. And he had a dream. How can I help my people in my hometown? I want to start a school. That was his dream. This was 3 years ago. I want to start a school. You know what happened after that? He received a grant from Belgium to start a school in his hometown.
Mm-hmm.
To this very day, they have over 1,000 students at that school.
Wow.
It started with a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And he prayed. He could have been easily content with his work at the hospital. He could have been easily content with his security. He could have been easily content with his friends. He could have been easily content as just another person who survived this tough time in Cambodia, but he said, no, I want to ask for more. God wants to do more. But you got to ask. God is moving incredible in all sorts of ways. It's a brother. He used to be a Buddhist monk. You know what? He's now your brother in the Lord. Couples getting restored, getting married. Not only people from Cambodia, but this man, he's from Kentucky. We're saving all men in Cambodia. But he has a pretty intense story. Military background, lived in Vietnam, Laos, Thailand, Cambodia. But you know what? He had no hope. A lot of things he's done in his life that he regrets. But you know what? He's an incredible brother and Lord. And you know what? Recently he just baptized his wife.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to ask for more.
Come on.
You know, every year we have a regional football tournament between Vietnam and Cambodia. And I want you to know to this very day, they still don't ask me to be on the team. But I help sponsor the jerseys. And I get to pray before and after the game. That's right. So, but it's intense. It's intense. Right now, Cambodia is up 2-1.
Okay,
but I didn't want to mention that because Tom Cruise might get mad at me. But you know, I wanted to share this with you because when we're in Cambodia and we're having this game, this match, it's so amazing because you see the Vietnamese disciples on one side cheering for their team and on the other side with the sign cheering for the Cambodian team. You see the Cambodian disciples saying, go, bro, go, Cambodia, go, Cambodia, go, Vietnam, go, go. And you know, people, non-Christians are so amazed, some are angry by it. I said, what are you guys doing? They're Vietnamese. Yo, Campuchia. Ochana, number one. I said, no. We love you, bro, Vietnam. We love you, bro, Cambodia. And they're having these cheers. And then afterwards, it's amazing because this went out and someone called the news station. Said, hey, you got to come check this out. Something crazy is happening. So the news went over there, the TV cameras went over there, and they start filming the game. And then all of a sudden the government start using it as, see, we're a friendly country. Vietnam are friends. See on TV. And you know, a soccer match was viewed in Cambodia for 1 week straight on TV. You know, I say this to you because when you look at this, these men, if they didn't have God, they hate each other for life. These men, because of the cultural and the historical background, all that's taking place, you would not see them hugging, crying, praying together. The people in the world look at this and they say, the love is so strong, this light is so bright, I can't look at it. Literally, we get complaints from people in Cambodia when they see us honoring our family in Vietnam. But you know what? Some people are amazed by it, but you know what they see? The power of God. You know what? We've got to ask for more. The young generation, God is moving powerfully.
Come on.
See, this is one example of two for one. You know that school of 300 that Frank and his family prayed for? It was just simple prayer to start a school. Now we have about 22 disciples on that campus now. And more want to study the Bible. It's about 37 disciples in the teens right now have big dreams. When we got there 4 years ago, there's about 8 disciples. God is moving powerfully. But you know, it's God. And right there, I love this picture because that's my baby girl, Brianna.
Come on.
And that's my arm right there. I didn't know what Cambodia had in store for us.
That's right.
I had no idea. Wow. I thought it was a 1 week workshop. It's turned into 5 years. But God had something else in plan.
That's right.
To see my daughter. Find God. God wants to do so much more. If we ask or imagine. I don't know if you know this guy. His name's Kobe Bryant. This is my sister, Gina. And a couple years ago, we're back in L.A., and I was speaking in Orange County, where Kobe Bryant lives. I said, guys, how come we're not reaching out to Kobe Bryant yet? He needs Jesus. How come we're not reaching out to the number one basketball team in America? Anyways, I don't want to say anything. Guys, we got to pray. It just so happened that my sister knows Kobe Bryant's wife. My sister's in the handbag business. And done special business with my sister. And then we got this idea, why don't you ask Kobe to ask if he could sponsor some kids from the third world to go to his academy? I said, sure. Called him. He called back, said, why don't you meet with my PR manager and why don't we work something out? This is the second year that we brought kids from the Philippines to his academy. They started a reality show. And I can't say it right now, but my son's in that reality show. And I'm watching him with Kobe, my son, reality show, basketball. He's trying to work on his image. He said, we can help you with your image and we can help you more. But I say this to you, it's not to really glorify this guy, though he needs God like anyone else. But I'm sitting there, I said, this is God. This is amazing. And he wants to do more. You know what? We've got to ask for the impossible. Go to God. Go to a big God. Ask for the impossible. Some key things, brothers. One, you need an Elijah-Elisha relationship.
Amen.
You can't do it on your own.
Come on.
You're very blessed to have Mike Fontenot.
Yeah. Come on.
You really are. And I'm just humbled and grateful to just be here and learn. Everyone needs an Elijah. Everyone needs an Elisha. You want to see big dreams? You need an Elijah and Elisha relationship. Amen.
Amen.
You know what else you need? You need dream makers, not cheerleaders. There's a difference. A cheerleader, go, bro! Woo-hoo! Yeah, bro! Amen. You want to go, woo-hoo, bro, awesome. Bro, you the man, woo-hoo! encouragement. Amen.
There's a difference between a dream maker and a cheerleader. A dream maker says, bro, let's talk about your dream. What's it going to take? Really, that's your heart? I have the same heart too.
Come on.
This is what I have. This is what I know you need. Let's work together. That's why I'm grateful for brothers like Frank Kim in my life. For Gordon Ferguson, for John Luss, for Coco Nrile, for John Louie. These brothers are dream makers. They help me follow something that was on my heart that I couldn't do by myself.
Yeah.
I appreciate the cheerleaders. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I love the encouragement. I need the encouragement. We need the encouragement, right?
That's right.
Yeah. But you know what? You need to understand you need a dream maker in your life.
Yeah.
Are you with me, bros?
Yeah. Yeah.
And honestly, I want to say thank you for all the first world churches that support Papua New Guinea and Fiji.
Awesome.
Thank you for your sacrifice and your hard work. You know what? You're dream makers.
That's right.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I know what it's like to be in the third world.
Yeah.
And I appreciate all your sacrifice. Thank you for being a dream maker.
Amen.
Last thing is this, you got to keep your heart pure.
Amen.
The Bible says only the pure shall see God.
Amen.
You know, when you keep your heart pure, you have the dream makers, Elijah's relationship, you can ask for the impossible. You know, it's amazing when you look in Elijah's life, it was accounted that there was 14 miracles that were recorded. What did Elijah ask for? A double portion. When you count the miracles that are recorded in Elijah's life, it's not 5, it's not 10, it's not 14. In fact, it's 28. So what does that mean? 14 times 2? It's 28. What did Elijah ask for? 2, please. A double portion. He asked God for a double portion. Brothers and sisters, no sisters, but brothers. You know, it's time to come in for the landing, you know? I'm so grateful for what God has done in my life 20 years ago. That's me when I got baptized. As you can tell, the sin affected my life many ways. November 4th, 1990, if you were to ask me that I'm going to be in a third world country serving as a missionary, broke but happy, I say you're crazy. But after being faithful to the Lord, I've seen that God has always done something better. He knows better. And I just got to keep asking. He'll say no sometimes, but you know what? I still have it in my heart to glorify God.
Amen.
I still have it in my heart to see churches built throughout Asia.
Mm-hmm.
See my family saved. Mm-hmm. See my disciples, my kids marry disciples.
Mm-hmm.
I have dreams in my heart.
Yeah.
But I got to make sure that I always desire the impossible and ask God. I hope today helps you. I love you, brothers. Please pray for us and continue to do what God has placed in your heart. Dream and ask big from the impossible God.
Sing, rise up, O men of God.
Rise up, O men of God, and thumbin' this earth things. Give heart and mind and soul and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God, the church for you doth wait. Her strength unequal to her task, rise up and make her great. Lift high the cross of Christ, tread where his feet have trod, as brothers all
Sister, clear message. We need men who dream.
Come on. Come on.
pray to a big God and ask big dreams. I think it's very clear. It's what we need in Australia. That's what you need to do. It's what I need to do. We've got a few minutes break here. If you've got your schedule.
Come on.
It's just gone 11:15. We've got session 2 starting. Vision for the mission. And we've got uni, teens and singles with Cesar and Jennifer in rooms 1 and 2.
Come on.
That's here. Peter says that's here. I think we're actually in room 1. Or if you're at the back there, you're actually in room 2. Marrieds are downstairs with the Whittons in the atrium. Then, and there's a leadership class with Mike and Terry Fortnoe. That's the men will be in room 3, which is down that way, and the women in room 4, which is further along. So that's it. So a bit of fellowship for a few minutes, but if you can be making your way to those classes. For session, it'll be fantastic. And thanks again to Cesar, amen.
Yeah.
Oh, from Gold Coast, huh?
Yeah. 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 It's in.
Yes,
People for making this happen. And hey bro, is this all set up to go? Good to go? Okay. It's a video I wanted to show last night to introduce to you our family up in Asia. And hopefully you can come and visit as well. It's a video that we sent to our church.
Hi, my name is Grace. I moved to Cambodia in January 2009 to work for the Si Nuc Hospital Center. I currently serve in the Phnom Penh Teen Ministry. I was baptized as a teen when I was 14 in the New York City Church.
My name is Brad. I was baptized in the Denver Church in 1994 as a teen. I moved to Cambodia in 2010 to work at the Si Nuc Hospital Center of Hope. Currently, I lead a Bible talk in the singles.
It has been such a blessing to live in Cambodia. God is doing amazing things, not only here in Cambodia, but all over the Mekong churches. As Americans living in this part of the world, it has been eye-opening to see such a great and obvious need for people to know about God. And it has been incredibly inspiring to watch how the good news is changing lives. Let's see how the Mekong churches are letting their light shine before men.
The churches in Vietnam, Thailand, Cambodia, and Myanmar are truly beacons of light to this part of the world.
In the United States, more than 78% of people identify themselves as Christian. But in these four countries, the majority of people are Buddhist and do not know about Jesus.
As part of an underground church, the disciples in Vietnam have shined a great light through their example of faithful sacrifice as they serve the Lord with all their hearts and souls.
Ha is in her final year of college, pursuing an undergraduate degree in architecture from the University of Hanoi. She recently became a disciple, but her faith is already being greatly challenged. Despite strong opposition and persecution from her family, Ha is committed and never misses a worship service. Her parents have threatened to stop sponsoring her tuition fees and living costs, and after returning home from a midweek service one cold night, her father beat her and refused to let her into the house. Having suffered much, Ha stands firmly in the Lord with the belief that someday her parents will understand her choice.
The disciples in Thailand have seen God work in faith-building ways as they have put their hope in Him.
Ju is a baby Christian who was given new hope when he made his commitment to Christ earlier this year.
This guy is Ju. And this is Brent. I want to share with you about how God has spent to us. Ben bring Ju to come to church 2 years ago to study Bible. And 3 months ago, he got baptized. And because of he wanted to follow Jesus, make her very convicted. And then she, after that, she started her heart, study Bible more, and she got restored. And now, both of them are your brother and sister. Then God bless them more. And they very love each other. In the next 2 weeks, they will get married. To God be the glory.
In Cambodia, the love of the disciples has been a bright reflection of God's love to those who are desperate and living in the dark.
Moved by his daughter's example and the love of the disciples, Ong Pia decided to follow Christ 14 years ago.
I hated people who believe in Christ. My older daughter was studying in the Bible and I persecuted her. One day, I was drunk all day and I saw her praying. I was angry and I took my belt and hit her as she prayed. The next day, I wanted to know if her prayers are powerful. So I went to church. I was shocked because people were good and had a lot of love. I asked to study the Bible and was baptized. And then my wife was baptized. Recently, my younger daughter also was baptized.
Set in a closed communist country, the churches in Myanmar are also underground. But despite this, it is inspiring to see how the disciples' courage and perseverance have radiated and impacted the lives of many.
Reuben is a faithful disciple in the Myanmar church. Through his example and perseverance, he has been able to baptize 19 of his family members.
AKK was a single brother leading the churches in Myanmar. After many, many years of perseverance and faithful prayer, God used the partnership between the Myanmar and Cambodian churches to answer AKK's prayer to find a spiritual woman of God. AKK and his wife Chenda, a Cambodian disciple, were married this past April.
On behalf of the Mekong churches, we want to thank you, Denver, for your incredible support. God has done amazing things in the Mekong churches.
You know, we're so grateful for your support of the Lopez family so that they can serve here in Cambodia and in the Mekong churches. I'm so grateful that I've been able to serve alongside them, and I had no idea that I would be able to help Brianna, their daughter, become a Christian 2 years ago when I moved here. You know, it's been incredible to see the way God has worked in the Mekong churches. Your faith, hope, and love helps us to be a city on a hill that shines a powerful light in a dark world.
To God be the glory. Akun Charan.